Taylor, are you leaving tomorrow?
Yes.
You're taking off tomorrow? Why don't you come up here and sing a special with us as you're leaving? Come on up. Come on up. Along with the rest of the Mexican missionaries, since you guys are leaving. Come on up. Don't get all excited, Taylor. Come on up. All the Mexican missionaries. Come on up. All of them. All means all. Yeah, everybody.
Am I a fighting specialist?
Yeah. Since I'll be leaving tomorrow, I thought maybe we could sing a song.
Amen.
Follow us. Yes.
Being me. Open your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. You know, there's been a few times in my life, and I think everybody, we're all this way, that you just knew it was time for you to do something. I mean, just things just work out that way. I remember when I was a few months shy of being 15 years old, there was a time where I thought, man, I need to get a job. You know, there was a big, when my town in Los Fresnos down in South Texas, we had one stoplight, that's a little bitty town, and a grocery store came in. Pretty good-sized grocery store. And I thought, you know what? I need to get a job. There's been certain times in my life when I graduated from high school, I thought, it's time for me to leave. It's time for me to get out of the house. Well, my mom didn't agree, so she kept me there for about 4 years, which was a great idea, I thought, because I probably would have gotten in a lot of trouble. But there's different times in my life, and I know you understand what I'm talking about, that you just knew it was time to do something. You know, there came a time in my life where I knew I had to do something with Christ. It was time, you know. And you know, I know that I've mentioned this before here, but when I got saved, when God spoke to me, it was through a man who didn't talk to me about the Bible. And that's just an incredible thing to me. Until I said, you know what, I need to say something. I need to speak up. I need to ask. You know, there's different times in our lives. I knew there was a time for me to get married. You know, I just knew it was just time. Karen and I were dating and it was time. I thought, you know what? Is Karen the one for me? You know? And I actually broke up with her for a week. Poor thing. I broke up with her for a week because as a Christian, I didn't want to do her wrong. I wanted to be sure. So I thought about it for a week because I didn't tell her that. So then I scheduled a date with her at Olive Garden and think, okay, I'm going to ask her to marry. But I didn't get that chance because she asked me to marry, to get married. I got a problem sometimes spitting what I want out. So I think I was taking too long and she knew where it was going. So she says, yes, that took care of it. But you know, there's times, there's just certain times that we just feel, you know what, this is it, this is the time. You know what, we live in a world that is just so bad. And I don't want to talk too much about how bad it is. I mean, we all know it's bad, right? But we don't live on Mars. I mean, we know it's bad. And we're down there in Mexico and we just, you know, sometimes make different comments of things that are going down down there, and it's, you know, it's bad. Things are just bad. But you know what? Things. I mean, it's not like right now. It's just all of a sudden started being bad. It's been bad times throughout the history. You know, I mean, when Christ was born, King Herod looked to kill him, and then when he thought he was mocked, when he felt he was being mocked, he went out and killed all the children. 2 years and under, because you wanted to kill Christ. Man, the Bible says it was lamentation, weeping. So many kids being killed. I mean, you think about it, there's been hard times throughout history. Psalms 119 and verse 126. It says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law." You know what? It's time for God to work. Have you felt that? Man, I feel it. I feel it. I think God needs to do something. But not only in the world when I think about what's going on out there, but He needs to do something in me too. You know, it's time for God. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be just comfortable. And I love being comfortable. But you know what? Things are just rough. Homosexuality. A few months ago, we were downtown in Puebla, and I thought, you know, we would just go out and you know, have a good time, me, my family, you know, walk around town, and they had a parade, a gay parade. You know, I really wouldn't mind if they had a parade, but why do they have to be so perverse in the parade? I mean, if I want to go out and celebrate, I don't know, 4th of July or something, I just go out and, you know, have a good time, whatever, Independence Day, whatever, you know. But why do I have to get half naked out there? Why do I have to be doing filthy stuff? And here I am walking, I'm thinking, oh man, you know, and I'm, you know, Lauren, just turn away, don't look at that, because you had things going on that was horrible. And just as proud as they could be walking by. Fornication? Man, it's not a problem. Living together before they get married, not a problem. No, there is a problem. God has some laws. God has some commandments. And you know what? You can agree with them or not. It doesn't matter. It's God's laws. You cannot escape the consequences. You know, there's a lot of children that have been abandoned because of marriages being broken up by whatever, drugs, violence, drunkenness, whatever it is. No, that's real sad. That's too bad. You know, I went in Home Depot before I came up here. There in Puebla, yeah, we do have a Home Depot. For those of you wondering how we live down there. Actually, we got two Home Depots down there. But we go in there. I go in there to buy some lumber. Some lumber. A couple boards. I'm not a carpenter. But I wanted to build a little shelf in the bathroom. So I just bought a couple boards. Making myself up. Yeah, I'm right up there with Mike. Yeah, I'm a framer. But, so I go in there, and of course, one of the pieces is too big for my car, right? So I had to go back in there and have them cut it. So I go back in there, and I tell them, okay, you know, I need this cut. Sure, go all the way to the back, and they'll do it for you. So I go all the way to the back, and the guy says, okay, I just want one cut. Okay, it's going to cost you 3 pesos. I said, great, I'll pay it. Okay, well, and so he hands me a little note, and he hands it to me. He says, go and pay it. I said, okay, I will. No, I need to go pay it and then bring the receipt back and then I think it's 3 pesos. I'll give you 5 pesos, you know? You can keep 2 pesos. I'm thinking, why do I have to go all the way? You know why I had to go all the way to the register and pay for it? I know it's probably not that way here in Home Depot, right? You go back there, they give it to you, it's just they just trust. The reason why is because there's a bunch of thieves. I mean, I know there's thieves up here too. But there's such a mistrust in the country. The corruption is horrible. You know, at least here, and I know if you go through Utah, you know, like we read in the newspaper, you know, down there they take bribes down there for speeding and all that. But in Mexico, that's just the way it is. You get pulled over and the cop is just gonna ask for a bribe in a nice way. Tell you stuff like, oh, you don't want to go down and pay the bill because it's going to take you all day. I'll do it for you. Oh, you'll do it for me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Here, it's going to be this much. I'll do it. I'm going to be going down there. You know, anyways, to punch out, I'll just go down and pay for you. Oh, very nice of you. No, I'll go. Let's go. And then finally, they just let me go because they don't want to deal with it. But that's just the way it is down there. Corruption is just bad. And we see that everywhere. I mean, here I had to walk from the back of the building, Home Depot, to the front to pay 3 pesos for a cut. I mean, do I look like I need exercise? I mean, seriously? I'm the picture of health, man. I mean, the Bible does say in Proverbs 15:30, right? A good report maketh the bones fat. I just got fat bones. I've been listening to the Word of God a little bit too much, I think. But you know, I think it's time for God to work. I think it's time for God to do something. We were in a little taco stand Sunday after church, and there was a lot of people in there. And right in front of us, I was there with Karen, and right in front of us there was a family with a dad and his little, probably like 4-year-old boy, eating. And his dad was giving this little kid a beer. Because that's just the way it is. Mexican culture, that's just the way it is. You know, I remember that. I was telling Karen, I said, Karen, that was me. I remember my dad telling me, son, you got to be a man. You know, take some beer. That's horrible. But this is where we live. I feel sorry for that little kid. You know, drinking, all the vices. Christians shouldn't be doing that. Sad thing, a bunch of Christians do that, and they call themselves casual drinkers, right? They partake of the social drugs, whatever, you know, good stuff. Oh, you know what? There's a whole bunch of other ways to have fun. Amen. instead of doing that. On the 1st of July, we had elections down there in Mexico, and I invited the church to the house, and we're going to pray for the results. So we all got together, we prayed, and it was a potluck. We had a bonfire afterwards, and sang some songs, and had one brother there who's been in the church for a little over a year, and he was just having the best time. He thought, man, we ought to do this again. And next time, let's do it all night. And I'm thinking, all night? It's 9 o'clock and I'm tired. I said, okay, we'll do it again all night next time. It's no problem. But he was like, I can't believe I'm having so much fun and we're not even drinking. We're not even, you know, cussing or fighting or any of that stuff. You know, God has done a good work in us. You know, I think God needs to work because the behavior of men invites God to work. You know, God sees all this. You know, sometimes Lauren gets stuck in some work she's doing, because she's homeschooled and she gets stuck. She never asks me for help. But I hear her. I hear her talking to my mom. And, you know, they're up there talking and, you know, it just invites me. It invites me to go up there and say, how can I help? You know, I want to help because I know there's a problem. And, you know, I go up there and she doesn't like me to help. You know, it's like I tell Lauren, you know what? I don't care what you get on your tests. Whatever you get, I'm going to make you do the ones you got wrong over again. Because I want you to understand what you're doing. That's what matters to me. That you understand the next time you can do it right. I wish they would have done that with me when I was a kid. Man, there's so many things that God has done in my life, how God has worked in my life, and it's made my life so much better. My family life so much better, but there's so much more he needs to do. I think the fact that it says there, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. You know what? They're making it invalid, what God says. When somebody lives in fornication, what they're saying is, doesn't matter what God says. I don't care what God says. I want what's good for me. And let me tell you, God is the author of sex. Okay? It was God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Sex doesn't have to be filthy. And to teach it to your kids doesn't have to be like, oh man, you know, how teach it. They're gonna hear it. And it's a sad thing that you gotta do it so early. But you gotta do it. And it can be a beautiful thing. It really can. But you know, just the behavior, just the things that are going on, it just invites God to work. And I think the condition that we're in also demands God to work. I mean, because we're in a bad situation. You know, it says talking about that young ruler who asked God what he needed to do to get saved. And so Jesus Christ started telling him what he needed to do. And then he came down to the last thing and he said, you know what? Sell everything you have. If you want to be perfect, sell everything you have. He went away really sad. You know, and his disciples said, man, that's tough. Who can be saved? Man, I mean, you have to give away everything and they totally missed it. That's not what it was. You know, the law is not for you to fulfill it. That's what God didn't give you the law thinking that you could do it. He gave you the law to know that you're a sinner. That's why we have the law. And that boy, when he left, he knew he was a sinner. Possibly when he walked up and talked to Jesus, he thought he was pretty good. You know, and that's our problem, that we're always looking at the people that are worse than us. Right? Yeah. We see a guy laying in his vomit from the night before, and we're thinking, I'm better than him. Well, you might be better than him, but you're still bad. But you know, the thing that out of that story that calls my attention is, it says there in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, the condition, just think about the condition that you were in. I mean, I know there's probably some people in here who got saved at a young age, and you've actually made great decisions because you have godly parents, and you avoided lots of stuff, and great. But some of us came to the Lord later, and we didn't have godly examples in our lives. And what the changes that we've seen in our lives. You know, this guy that I'm telling you about, he just recently got convicted to go and try to restore relationship again with his sister. He hadn't talked to him in like 2 years. He said, I'm going to go. It was one night, one Thursday night, we had our meeting. And he said, I'm going to go talk to my sister and give her the gospel. I said, well, that's good. So he goes over there and he starts giving the gospel, and they bring up so many things from his past. Just a whole bunch of stuff. Stuff that his wife didn't know about. Stuff that his kids didn't know about. And he's sitting there and he just had to say, you know what? You're absolutely right. His kids were just, he said he felt really bad because his kids were just like, you know, they were embarrassed. But then when he said, you know what? Everything you're saying is true. And some of the things you're saying, my family don't even know. They just looked at him like, this is not how we do things. We usually, you know, deny. You know, why are you confessing? You know why he confessed? Because God did something in him. God worked in him. You want to get things right? Got to confess it. You want to have a good relationship with Christ? You got to confess it. You want to have a good relationship with your family, with your church family? You got to confess. There's one other thing I thought why it's time for God to work is because I think we pray for it, and I think some of us believe it. Amen. I think some of us, we truly believe, God, you need to do something. And I think that's a reason why God needs to work right now. You know, it says over there in Philippians, if you want to turn to Philippians. I think it's time for us to get serious about God working. Not only in the world, we know He needs to work in the world, but He needs to work in us. Look what it says over there in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 21. Here's Paul's talking, and he says, for all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. You know, I think that's one of the things that we need to really think about. Seeking our own stuff. You know, I think Paul was here. He was in a bad way. He was obviously in jail. And things needed to get done. And no one wanted to do anything. Why? Because they were seeking their own. Don't you find yourself in that kind of rut? Comfortable? I think we all fall into that. I think us as missionaries fall into that. I like comfort. Brother Brent was talking last night about he can go to a place where he's preached over and over, over again, and it's real comfortable preaching there. But when you want to try something new and go to a new spot, there's a little bit of fear. You know, it's a little bit of hesitation. Why? You don't know what's going to happen there. You know, I truly believe there's some places worse than others. It's like darkness is more powerful in some places than others. And I don't want to get all Pentecostal here or anything, but it's true. I mean, you just feel it. You're thinking, man, and the resistance. I've been on streets preaching where I just show up and everything is just, you know, you hear the birds, tweet, 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 tweet. Hey, everything's real nice, you know, just beautiful. I'm thinking, wow, you know, and I'm looking where to preach. Okay, you know, this wall's higher and my voice is going to bounce off. Okay, yeah, yeah. And the minute we start preaching, I mean, gas trucks, people screaming. I mean, just everything just going crazy. I'm thinking, I can't even hear myself. And as soon as we stop, tweet, tweet, tweet. What happened? Hey, we got to come back and do this street again because, wow. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, my mind's just going. I'm thinking, did somebody just want to hinder us today? Probably. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, page 924 in my Bible. That helps. I always like to be helpful. You know, there's another thing. I think it's time for us to do work in our hearts. Look what it says here. 10 verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Fallow ground. You know what fallow ground is? It's ground that's undisturbed. It's ground that has a bunch of stuff on it. You know, rocks and thorns and just junk. And you look at it and you're thinking, man, you can't do anything here. It's just too much junk. Amen. Well, you know what God's telling us? You need to break up your fallow ground. You can't plant anything in something like that. God can't work with ground like that. And I know we always fall back on stuff like, well, God can do anything. Well, yeah, God can do anything. Sure, I agree with that. But you know, He also talked about the parable of the sower, right? And He also talked about how the word falls on good ground and the word falls on stony ground and the word... The word gets choked up, right, by thorns. And the stony ground, they received it, and they loved it, and they say, you know what, this is good stuff. And because of the stones, because of the fallow ground, it didn't take root. And what good was it? They get all excited, and it didn't take root. Well, you know what, you got to take some things away from yourself. And it's so easy, isn't it? Have you ever sat down, turned on the TV, and by the time you know it, it's midnight? Does that happen to you? No? Okay. I'm bad. Turn on the TV and you're sitting there. By the time you know it, you're thinking, man, it's midnight. Where did it go? You know, it's like you got just all involved in the programs, you know, and the, you know, whatever 2020 or whatever you watch, you know, you're thinking, you just got in there and it's so easy. You could pick up a magazine. Do you guys have magazines at the house? Good housekeeping? Ken buys Good Housekeeping. I can get lost in that too. I'm thinking, look at this house, you know, before and after and whoa, you know, I'm thinking, and by the time I know it, I'm thinking, well, why am I looking at this? I don't even have my own house, you know? I mean, what? I just lost all this time. But we can just get lost. And there's so many things that we get caught up in. And probably most of the stuff that we do is not that bad. I mean, we're not talking about bad stuff. I mean, work is good, right? Your job, you thank God for your job. You're getting a paycheck. It's good stuff. But you know, I know some people who get so involved in their work and they lose their kids. No time for your kids. This one guy there in Puebla, Steve, one of the Lord, Manuel, and just before he came up, he won of the Lord, and then he gave me the study, and man, I almost didn't want to come up. I like those studies, you know? It's just a good study. And we're talking, and things come up, and he's talking about, man, sometimes I come home, and I get tired, and I don't like it when I explode at my... He has two little girls, cute little girls. And I want to change. And I said, Manuel, they're kids. Let them be kids. Play with them. You know, if they make a mess in the house, their kids are supposed to make a mess in the house. Teach them, once they're done playing, pick up. You know, don't you pick up. Let them pick up. Help them pick up. You know, don't get all frustrated. They're kids. And I said, man, by the time you know it, they're going to be 15 years old. And then you're going to say, what happened? Don't you see these little kids that we have in the church? By the time you know it, they're going to be 15, not wanting to talk to you about homework. You know, it's time that we work on our heart. You know, it's time to get revived. Amen. You know, I know it's a mission conference, but wouldn't it be good if God gave us 2-for-1? Man, that'd be real good. 2-for-1. We'll just take care of it. 2-for-1. Let's get revived. Let's get... But you know what happens when you ask God to revive? You're asking God, or you're inviting God to convict you. Because revival is conviction. Conviction of stuff that you're doing wrong. And not only is it conviction, but it's confession. And if that's not bad enough, forsaking. Ain't that what God says? Look what it says over there in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 28. It's time for God to work. And it's time for us to break up our fallow ground and seek Him. We have to seek Him. But you got to understand what that means. I'm asking God to revive me. We as Christians, we don't just, you know who we want to talk to in these meetings? We want to talk to the faithful people of this church. That's who we want to get revived. You know, backsliders need to get revived. People who come every now and again, they need to get revived too. I realize that. But you know who I want to get revived? Are the people who are actually doing something. Amen. I want the people that have been faithful and faithful givers. Yeah, Bill said something and brought, it made me laugh. When he said, you know, we need to be behind these people. You know, they need to know that you're behind them or whatever. That wasn't the case when I went out. Brother Lindell took me back there in that room when I said I wanted to be a missionary. And Brother Lindell said, don't you sell anything you have. I'm thinking, okay. Well, you're going to go down there and you might not get any money. As a matter of fact, we're not promising you a thing. I'm thinking, what? Aren't you behind me? We're not promising you a dime, boy. You hear that? Yes, I hear that. You might have to sell that stuff you take down there. Okay? Man, you talk about trying to, you know, shake me up, and he did. You know, I had to go home and think, man, did you really call me? Is this really what you want me to do? Man, God's been so faithful. I got to say, we've sold stuff, but just to get more stuff. You know? Yeah, I've sold stuff. I got better stuff. God's been so faithful to us. You know? I think it's time. Have you lost that feeling of when you think it's time to go to church and you're excited about going to church? Has that come and gone? We need to get that back. You know? When I came here for that mission conference and I got saved during the mission conference, I came every single night. And I really wanted to come the next night. The first night was a little strange. But, you know, and I'm just saying the first day because, you know, everybody was just extremely nice to me. And I was just thinking, what do they want, you know? What's going on? And they all knew me. Hey, John, how you doing? I'm thinking, I never met this guy in my life. Who is this guy? They've been praying for me.
Yep.
Some have been praying for me to die, but they've been praying for me.
Sorry, bro.
But, you know, I wanted to come back. Just the messages were just hitting home. And God was working. God was just, He was doing something. And, man, I remember some people here who started with me in this church. And they're not here no more. That's sad. You know, it's in Psalms 84, we need to get this feeling back. Psalms 84, where it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. In verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Have you lost that? No, look, I know every single meeting isn't a bang. I know that. You know? And sometimes, you know, we can help out. I think most of the time we can help out for the meetings to be a little bit more of a bang. When your pastor gives you a message and it hits home and it's a truth, you know, participate.
Amen.
You know? When Tim Duncan slams a dunk, you participate, don't you? I do. You know, jump up in the air and get all crazy. You participate. That's why they sell tickets at the stadium, right? It home court advantage has something to do with that. They like all the cheers instead of the boos. Well, you know, we need to get that back. We need to ask God to get that back because God put it in us.
Amen.
Don't you remember that? Would you actually want to go to church? Man, I'm telling you, these last couple weeks without Steve there, I've been wanting to go to church. Not because he's not there. Don't get me wrong. But because he gave me a good study. You know? And so I'm thinking, man, is Manuel going to be there? You know, is Rafa going to be there? And then Manuel shows up with his wife and shows up with his two little girls, darling little girls. And they don't know how to act in the meeting, and that's okay. I know it frustrates somebody. I need these little kids to sit down. I don't care. There's time for everything. You know? Excited. The last Sunday we were there, before I came up, just this past Sunday, I get a text at 5:57 in the morning. Text comes in. I was awake, by the way. 5:57. I'm thinking, and it's Manuel. Hey, I can't come to church today. Sorry. They just called me to work. And then around 9:30, his wife calls me and says, oh, by the way, did you get the message? Manuel ain't going to be able to come. Oh, yeah, I got the message. But he owes me nothing. I'm thinking, this guy feels an obligation. He's thinking, man, you know what? This guy just taught me a Bible study on Friday, and I'm not going to show up on Sunday, and I want him to know that I'm not showing up because this came up. When's the last time you did that? No, lots of times you skip church, and then when you do come in late and in the back, and you leave really early so no one says anything. Isn't that how it happens? We need to break up that ground. It's time. How long do you want to live that way? As a Christian, how long do you want to live that way? I want to be in good fellowship with God. And troubles, man, troubles are actually can be a benefit. You know that? Persecution, troubles, trials, that can make you strong. You know what makes you weak? Prosperity. Isn't that crazy? You look in the Bible, and when they got persecuted, boom, they just grew. And some churches were poor, and they gave abundantly. Why? Because God worked in them. They thought it was just a privilege. We need to get that back. One more thing. Romans 13. You know, I think it's time for God to stir us up. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." 2 Timothy 1:6. You got to actually do the stirring. You know, God put something in you. God gave you gifts. God gave you talents. God gave you stuff for the church, for His work. And you got to stir it up. That's what you got to do. Sometimes it's hard. But it's got to be stirred up. Have you ever had... I like lemonade. I don't like sugar that much. I know you guys don't believe me, but I really don't like sugar. My bones are fat. But have you ever drank lemonade when all the sugar settles? It's kind of tart, right? It's kind of... ugh. You know? I mean, I can drink it, I can bear it, but I got to stir it up. Why? It gets a little sweeter, a little bit better. Well, you know, some of you guys need to get a little sweeter. Some of you guys need to get a little bit better. You know, that would help. I really think that helps people. We just need to be Christians. Did God give you a joy inside you?
Amen.
I know He did. We should be the happiest people
Amen.
On the face of the earth.
Amen.
Sins forgiven, going to heaven, and we don't deserve it? Man, we should be happy.
Amen.
Sometimes you go and you try to witness somebody and you tell them, man, God changes lives. They look at you and they go, what happened to you? You know? You're talking about change, but look at you. I mean, you know, I'm probably better than you. And that's sad. You need to get stirred up. You need to change some things. It's time to do it. Look what it says there, Romans in chapter 13. I'm going to end with this. Romans chapter 13. In verse 11. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, and let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." You know what? This isn't a commandment. This is a to-do list. You got to do some things. You know, it's time for God to work, and I know that. And God is working. It might seem that God isn't working, but God's working. I know He's working. Sometimes we just don't see it. And then again, maybe God is just saying, I need you to do something. I need you to stir something up. I need you to leave some of that darkness. You need to take some things. It's time to clean up your life. And I know I'm talking to some people here. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm spying on you or anything like that. But I know. I know the kind of ruts we get into. I know the kind of things we get into. Man, I've been pastoring a long time. I know the problems. I've been in homes, in situations. I've even been a prophet sometimes. In a bad way. Kids telling them, don't do this. You're going to go down. This is going to happen. Don't do that. No. It's just that I'm strong. Don't do that. And then in a month, they're calling me. Guess what happened? Did I tell you? I mean, I want to say that. You idiot. I want to say that.
Yep.
But it's, we've got to pick up the pieces. We've got to figure some things out. God can do something here. It's time. It's time for you, like it says here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know, it's time for God to work.
Amen.
It's time to break up that fallow ground. Hey, it's time to see God. It's time to wake up.
Amen.
It's your time.